assemble together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we ought to be thankful for that. And I'm certainly happy to be here, and I know that you are too. Before we get the sermon going, I want to tell you for myself and on behalf of these young men how thankful we are that you're here. It's an encouragement to them. It's not easy. Even when you've been preaching for a while, it's not always easy to get in the pulpit, but especially when you've not been preaching that long or you've not preached many lessons. And so I appreciate them and their willingness to take part in this. They've worked hard. They've developed the points. They went over it and over it. And I'm sure that you'll see their hard work tonight as they stand before you to open up the book of books, the Bible, the Word of God. And so they're to be commended. After the service, I hope that you'll make it a point before you leave to offer words of encouragement to each one of them. They'll be in the back after the service, and so make sure that you make it a point to offer words of encouragement to them and let them know how good of a job that they did. I'm sure they will. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and then verse 2, the Bible says, "Moreover, it is required that a steward, that a man be found faithful." And as was read just a moment ago from the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 10, that Ray did a good job in reading. We appreciate him doing that. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." There is no doubt that except we are faithful and endure to the end, heaven will never be our home. And so this lesson tonight sets before us some things that are involved in being faithful.
The first point we're going to talk about tonight and things involved in being faithful is attending services. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. "Not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." As we can see here, God wants us to come together and encourage one another. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." The only way we're going to be able to do this, to admonish one another, is if we come together, attending services together, singing and praising God as one.
Another thing involved in being faithful is being dependent on God. Turn to Matthew chapter 6 and we'll read verses 30 through 33. "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." This shows that God will help us get through problems that we might have from day to day, so we need to worry more about being faithful because God will take care of us. And turn to James chapter 1, and we'll read verse 17 and 18. "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with Him there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. This shows that we are more important to God than all the other creatures on earth because we are so important to God, we can have faith that He will watch over us."
Another thing involved in being faithful is being a brother. In the first chapter of Colossians, those of the church of Colossus are stated as faithful brethren. Turn with me at this time to Luke chapter 8, verse 21. Luke chapter 8, verse 21 tells us how we can become faithful brethren by saying, "But he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." So we know from these passages that to being a brother to one another is involving being faithful.
The fourth thing tonight involving being faithful is to pray without ceasing. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll read verses 17 and 18. There it says, "Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you to do in Christ Jesus." Then turn with me to Philippians 4, and we'll read verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." In these verses, we can see that another thing involved in being faithful is to pray without ceasing.
One more thing involved in being faithful is example setting. So, if you will, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, and we'll read from there for a moment. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." So we can see here, even these young people here, you'd be surprised who's really watching you sometimes. And you want to be an example, not just an example, but a good example. And because people are always paying attention to you. And something else that helps solidify that is another verse, which is Titus chapter 2 and verse 7, if you'll turn there with me. "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed." So once again, we see that we're always a pattern to the ones around us, especially at work, here at church, our family, our friends. And so we always want to be a pattern, and once again, a good pattern, a pattern based from the Bible.
Another thing involved in remaining faithful to God is studying. Turn over to 2 Timothy 2, and we'll read verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." This tells us that we need to study to be approved by God. Also, turn over to 1 Timothy 4, and we'll read verses 15 and 16. "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." These verses show that to remain faithful we need to not only study the Bible, but live by it day by day.
Also, being faithful involves loving others. If you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll read the entire chapter. "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be vanished away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Then we'll turn over to Matthew chapter 5. And read verses 43 and 44. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which is despitefully use you and persecute you. These verses explain the type of love we have one to another and those of the world. Corinthians specifically gives instruction and example on how love is carried out as a physical act. To display love in this manner is examples of being faithful.
Along with loving others, we also have to be growing. 2 Peter 3:18 says, But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Some may wonder why it's important for each of us to grow. We learn why it's so important for each of us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Please turn to that with me. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried around by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. So not be tossed around by every wind of doctrine. We're going to have to sit down and study the Bible. You have to know it. We have to know it so we can identify and teach what's right and wrong to each other. The only way we're going to be able to do that is to sit down and read the Bible.
Along with growing, we should be able to forgive others in order to be faithful to God. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. To be able to get to heaven, we need God to forgive us of our sins. And in order for this to happen, we have to be able to forgive others as well. And turn to Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. This shows that we need to forgive others no matter how many times they wrong us.
Along with forgiving others, another thing involved in being faithful is being a doer. Turn with me to James 1, verse 22. In James 1, 22, it says, But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I'll read on through verse 25. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself going away and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll see some figures that were faithful to God, and we'll see how God regards them. Starting in verse 4, By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, to which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sands which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So verse 13, we see that all those that were stated in this passage and through the rest of the chapter all died in faith. We see in verse 6 that faith is not only just belief alone. That is only part of faith. See further on in verse 6 that faith is granted. One is faithful if he believes and he diligently seeks the Lord. So we have to ask ourselves, how do we seek the Lord? As we can see from the figures in this passage, they were seeking God because they were doing as he commanded them. If we want to die in faith and be recorded as faithful by God, we must do everything that he commands of us.
Another thing involved in being faithful is thirsting for righteousness. Turn with me to Matthew 5. Let's read verse 6. There it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Then turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. Let's read verse 7. "Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." Now in these verses we can see that we are supposed to thirst for righteousness just like Christ was righteous.
One more thing involved in being faithful involves answering religious error. So if you will, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." And it reminds me of a situation just a couple of days ago. This couple of people asked me a question actually concerning the Bible, and I said, "Well, I'm not sure, so I'll look that up." So not for last, I read on it, went back the next day, and I was like, "Let me talk to you about this now." And I'd already passed the opportunity. They went, you know, it was on something else. So again, this really clinches the fact that when you have the opportunity, be ready, because you may not get a second chance. And one more thing to solidify that is Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Let's read that. "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." And again, this is not what our opinions are, not what our ideas are, but what does the Bible say on this matter. So always got to study, got to be ready to give an answer.
And in addition to answering religious error, we need to do good. Turn over to Galatians 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. This tells us that we need to do good unto everyone, especially other Christians, every chance that we get. We also learn that Jesus went about doing good. In Acts 10:38, the Bible says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This shows that Christ went about doing good, and as Christians, we should also.
Continuing being faithful involves remembering Christ's death. If you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll read verse 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And this, after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And we'll turn over to Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to part on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. From these verses, you can see Christians have examples of being faithful by remembering Christ's death every first day of the week. The bread and the fruit of the vine are to Christians memorials of Christ's body and blood to take until Christ's return. To remember Christ in this manner is an act of being faithful.
You've heard the word of God tonight. 14 points on faith involved in being faithful. You've heard at least 28 scriptures, well over 28 references to back up these points that they have shared with you. There's a lot more things involved in being faithful that you could glean from the Bible than what was shared with us tonight. It talked with you about attending services, depending on God, being a brother, praying without ceasing, example setting, studying, loving others, growing, forgiving others, being a doer, thirsting for righteousness, answering religious error, doing good, and remembering Christ's death. 14 points that are involved in being faithful. I'm proud of each one of them. Each one of them did an outstanding job. And as I said, at the end of service, will be in the back. Just make sure that you offer them words of encouragement. There's a couple, by the way, that wasn't able to be with us and do this due to their schedules and stuff this go around, but hopefully, Lord willing, next time we'll have more than the 7 that stood before you tonight. And at least one more that's not been able to participate with us. We look forward to him being able to take a part in this next time. And so I'm proud of each one of them. Things involved in being faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Should you be in our assembly tonight, not a Christian, we encourage you to become one by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. Repenting of your sins, Acts 3:19. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. And being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. You may be here tonight and haven't already done that, but along life's way, you've been unfaithful, you've not been the Christian that you should have been, you stopped serving the Lord and went back out into the world of sin. You had an opportunity to be restored by repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you for you. Don't delay. Come right now.